This program is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And today it's all about the music. The Illinois Chamber Orchestra is giving concerts this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, both their adult and young people's concerts. We'll be talking with Karen Lynn Deal, who is conductor of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and Chamber Orchestra in the first part of the show. Then Chamber Orchestra Kremlin from Moscow is giving a concert on Sunday evening at Eastern Illinois University's Doudna Fine Arts Center. Their conductor, Misha Rachlewski, will be in conversation with me in the middle portion of the show. And then in the later portion of the show, clarinetist Solomon Baer, who is soloing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra in Decatur on Saturday, will join us to talk a bit about that concert, about the clarinet, and to play some samples for us live in our studio. It is also Friday of our fall pledge period, and that means we will be asking you to pony up, make your contribution to support the television. That's what am I saying? The radio show. I keep wanting it to be a television show as we interview various people in our studio. But to make your contribution to support the show and make sure that it continues in perpetuity, or at least as long as you want it to. The phone number, I'll tell you right now, is 217-244-9455. You can make your contribution there, or you can do it online at willpledge.org. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard Israeli clarinetist Sharon Kamm with pianist Itamar Golan in the final movement of the clarinet sonata by Francis Poulenc here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I played that sort of as a preview for the third portion of our show today, when clarinetist Solomon Baer will be with us to play a little bit, both recorded, a sample of what he's going to be playing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra on Saturday night, and also to do us some demonstration of some of the various styles in which he plays, which can be considerable. That's later on. First, though, we're going to listen in on a conversation I had yesterday with Karen Lynn Deal, who is conductor of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and Illinois Chamber Orchestra. The Chamber Orchestra is performing three times this weekend. They're doing both their regular concerts in Springfield at St. Agnes Church on Friday night, and Saturday night at First Presbyterian Church in Normal. And then on Saturday afternoon, they're playing a version of that same program as their Young Mozart program for families. That's in the afternoon in Normal. And then on Sunday afternoon, they'll go back to Springfield, St. Agnes Church, and play the Young Mozart program there as well. And I'll give you all the times later on after the program. I will also remind you that we are looking for your pledges of support of Live and Local today. We will give you details later, but the most important detail, which you can use immediately, is our phone number, 217-244-9455. Make your credit card contribution, or you can do the same very easily on our website at willpledge.org. Karen and I were talking yesterday about a number of things, including some of the differences between a symphony orchestra and a chamber orchestra, and I suggested that you can play music for chamber orchestra with a symphony orchestra, but not so easily can you go the other way around. If something is clearly written for a symphony orchestra, which is to say a large orchestra, it can be much more difficult to play it with a chamber orchestra, and this was her comment on that.
A Mozart concert with a symphony orchestra, but it's really different. It's not the same at all. These works that we do on the chamber orchestra concerts were designed for small orchestras, and they were originally played by small orchestras. And by small, I mean anything from, you know, 2 to 3 first violins, 2 to 3 second violins, you know, a couple of violas, you know, a bass and a cello. So the sound can be is radically different when you hear a chamber orchestra or small ensemble play the same piece of music that you would then transfer to a large symphony orchestra. One of the things that that Leonard Bernstein used to do, you know, the Beethoven symphonies for the most part were originally performed with fairly small orchestras, and now we tend to perform them with, you know, huge, enormous orchestras. But if you do that, then the winds get buried. And so what Bernstein would do would be to double the winds so that you could hear them because the string count had been doubled or tripled or quadrupled. What I prefer to do, not that we don't play Beethoven, some of the Beethoven symphonies with the large orchestra, we certainly do, but I prefer to actually hear them and hear the intricacies and the delicacies of Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven and Schubert played with a chamber orchestra size. You hear differently, and the response of the musicians is different, and the whole quality of sound is more intimate and has the ability to be more refined.
It is, though, as you sort of alluded, is a bit of a new old thing, because for a long time, all of this music was played by large symphony orchestras, including Mozart. And it's been, I don't know, in the last how many years, where it's happened more and more that chamber orchestras come into existence, whether with or without conductor, and that some music has almost gone off of the repertoire of some of the major symphony orchestras, where particularly with Baroque music, where they just won't play it anymore.
But they certainly used to. Yeah, you're exactly right. The thing is, though, the certainly used to part is what was out of historical context, because what you started with were chamber orchestras, and the size of the as the size of the orchestra grew, the writing for an orchestra changed. So you start off with very small numbers of people, with the classical composers, the Baroque composers. Then as time goes on, more instruments are developed, instruments are themselves are refined and improved upon, and by the time you get to the Romantic period, you know, you have more musicians and you have more professional musicians and you have different instruments being added, and you're coming out of the small little chamber and courtly environments of the monarchs and the kings and so forth and so on, and you're moving in the Romantic period away from that and into the concert hall situation, where music becomes something that, you know, the general public can go to. And then you have Brahms and Wagner and Tchaikovsky, and the whole thing grows. And then those orchestras started also playing the older pieces, the classical repertoire, but they played them with these huge orchestras that were out of style and were not characteristic, just because that's what they were working with. And so now what has happened is you have more orchestras in the United States and across Europe that are being developed and being organized specifically to play Baroque and even Renaissance and classical repertoire, and that's what they specialize in. And that started really happening probably about 30 years ago with Christopher Hogwood and Honencourt and people like that. And now you have orchestras really separating more, I think, what they play and going back to a little bit more of the original structure of it. Some go back and use original instruments, which is an entirely different thing. And some just do it with the size.
And some larger orchestras, if they're going to play Mozart, for example, as you're doing this weekend, will play it with their symphony, but they will pare down the size of the string section.
Right.
More often, it seems, that happens.
Right. I mean, that's what we would do, like if we were, you know, if we had a Shostakovich symphony and a Mozart overture or something like that on the same program, I would use as large a string section as I could possibly find for the Shostakovich, and for the Mozart, I would pare it down. It becomes the writing of Mozart, Haydn, you know, composers, classical composers, is so clear and so defined and so precise, and in order to have that clarity, the fewer numbers, you know, the more the more wieldy it can be. You know, when you get 30 string players trying to play something that's very, very delicate, it's going to be much more difficult and sound entirely different than if you have six. And it's also what's lovely about it in our case, and having the chamber orchestra here is one of the things that I love most about this job, because I love the variation. I love that both are offered here, and thus I get to conduct in both genres of music.
You also are going back, in a way, to period practice when you have the chamber orchestra play in a church setting, wouldn't you say?
Yes. I mean, as I was saying before, one of the things that happened, you know, nothing happens, everything's related. I believe that about anything that we could discuss. And when you look at the evolution of the orchestra, it's all related to politics, you know, going from monarchies to more democratic forms of government. It's all related to architecture. The politics ties in with the architecture, because if you're a monarch, then you're going to have your little salon, and you're going to hire your small group of musicians, and you're going to hire Mozart to be your court composer, and all of the music will take place in that arena. If there is no longer a Mozart, I mean a king, then you start moving towards the people, and then you have to have spaces that are larger to accommodate the general public. And with a larger space, you have to have a larger group of musicians so that the sound can fill the larger space. So you have all of these things are interconnected.
You're listening to a conversation with Karen Lynn Deal, who is music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and Illinois Chamber Orchestra. The Chamber Orchestra giving concerts in Springfield and Normal this weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, both their adult concerts, so to speak, and the family concerts, which we will talk about in the second portion of that conversation. I'm Kevin Kelly, and this program is live and local on FM 90.9. Here's the Illinois Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Karen Lynn Deal, in the final movement of a concerto for piccolo and orchestra by Antonio Vivaldi, definitely a piece that you would not hear a full symphony orchestra perform. The soloist is the principal flutist of the Illinois Symphony, Kimberly McCool Reisinger, here on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
The Illinois Chamber Orchestra performing a piccolo concerto, originally for recorder, by Antonio Vivaldi. The soloist, who sounded wonderful, was Kimberly McCool-Reisinger, who teaches at Illinois State University, I believe. She's the principal flutist with the Illinois Symphony. Karen Lynn Deal conducted, and you heard it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Illinois Chamber Orchestra giving concerts this weekend in Springfield and Normal, excuse me. And we'll continue that conversation with Karen Deal in just a couple of minutes. And then later on in the show, conversation with Misha Rakhlevsky, who conducts the Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, which will be performing at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston on Sunday night. And in the final portion of the show, Solomon Bear, who is a clarinetist, teaches at Millikan University and plays in many orchestras around. He is performing two solo works with the Millikan Decatur Symphony on Saturday. He's in to talk and play live for us in the last part of today's show. We've got lots going on, including some very important business to handle here on Live and Local, and that is to ask you to support the show with your financial contributions. It's our fall pledge period. It is Friday. We have three opportunities, really, to support Live and Local, yesterday, today, and Monday. So we need to do our business as quickly as we possibly can. The phone number is 217-244-9455, and with me here in the studio is Heather Miller of our development department. Thanks for coming in, Heather.
You bet, Kevin. I have been a devoted fan since February 2nd, when the show began. I rearranged my lunch hour so that I'm in the car for as much as I can for your show. It is a wonderful connection to arts and music here in Central Illinois. I think it's critical that we keep this lifeline to our music and our culture going strong here in Central Illinois. And WILL FM 90.9 brings you that with Live and Local. I have been thoroughly entertained with interviews and portions of music played, students. The diversity of the arts here in Central Illinois has just been amazing over the summer. It's incredible, and it's all there for you, the listener. And with your help, we'll keep this show coming to you. Give us a call, 244-9455, $1 a week. $52 pledge is all it will take to help keep things going. You can do that with your credit card. You can do that with a check. But whatever method you choose, we hope you'll choose to do that today. So go to your phone, call 217-244-9455, and help keep the lifeblood of Arts Connection going strong here at WILL-FM.
And as always, you can pledge online at willpledge.org. I like that. I'm going to have to remember that term. This is the lifeline between to the performing arts here via Live and Local. I like that. I have to work on that. Work that into some promotional copy or something. I'm Kevin Kelly, host of Live and Local, and we will continue now with that conversation I had yesterday with Karen Deal, who conducts the Illinois Symphony and Chamber Orchestra. And I simply asked her about the concert. I mentioned earlier that they're giving both the regular chamber concerts, and then they're also giving this weekend their concerts for young people, and it's all Mozart.
Well, we traditionally have a family concert every year, and because we bring the musicians in from all over the place, and, you know, we pay their travel and housing and everything, we try to coordinate a family concert with one of our chamber orchestra concerts, because we use a small group and we play the family concerts in smaller environments where we can, you know, interact with the kids more than you could in a really large concert hall. And so we decided to pair the family concert with our Mozart concert this year. And those are going to be a lot of fun. They'll be played at the same churches as the two, you know, general concerts, and we'll play excerpts of the music from the Mozart concert, plus I'm adding a couple of other smaller, more child-friendly Mozart pieces, and those will be on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, following the adult concerts that will be the previous nights in both of those cities. So that'll be something that a parent or grandparent can bring their kids to and give them a pre-concert experience with our instrument petting zoo and arts and crafts an hour before the program, and then we'll do about a 45-50 minute concert for the children that'll be quite interactive. And Mozart is always a wonderful composer, I think, to introduce children to. And you have so many things you can talk about with him. And because he started when he was just a little teeny boy, most of these kids are at the age that Mozart was when he began writing. And it's, you know, you tell them that, and then you play a piece of music that he wrote when he was 5 or 6 or 7 years old, and you know, their eyes just pop wide open, you know, and it encourages them to reach for their dreams, and it encourages them to see, you know, the possibilities that we all have.
So the adult concert, anyway, has three works on it, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which is, or a little night music, a little serenade that many people will know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll know part of it. That's what's always interesting, you know. People know, people say, I know Beethoven Fifth, and what they know is the first two measures.
That's right.
And with the Eine kleine Nachtmusik, they know about the first 16 bars of the first movement, and that's what people think it is. They don't realize there's another, 15 minutes of music and four movements in total that are all equally delightful. So this gives people the chance to hear what they know in context with what they might not know yet.
And then a great symphony, the 39th, and in between, the 23rd Piano Concerto, your soloist is Maria Horvath. Tell us about her.
Well, Maria lives in the area, and she's our pianist for the symphony, meaning that whenever we need piano or harpsichord or celeste for any of the other programs, she's our person, and she's under contract with us for all three of those instruments. And she approached me last year, and she told me that she was preparing this piece and asked if I would consider allowing her to perform it with us, and I was absolutely delighted because we try to feature our principal players in the chamber orchestra concerts routinely. That's something that I always do, and it's a wonderful showcase for them. It keeps them really active and on top of their game, knowing that they have performances, public performances coming up. And so she performs in the area, and she teaches, and she accompanies, and she's a wonderful, wonderful person and a wonderful pianist. So I really look forward to hearing her play.
And hopefully she will bring all her friends with her to the concert.
Absolutely. Friends and students and family. That's what we that's what we hope, is that everybody will bring someone along, because once we have somebody, we can pretty often, you know, get them to return. So it's just trying to get them there the first couple of times so they can see how much fun we have and how unpretentious our concerts are and how they really are just a place for people to go and relax and listen to beautiful music and think whatever thoughts they may be thinking in their head. And it's a much cheaper form of therapy, let me tell you.
Karen Lynn Deal, music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and Illinois Chamber Orchestra, in conversation with me yesterday, and talking about their concerts this weekend. Here's the complete rundown. The Chamber Orchestra performing Eine kleine Mozart, the name of the program. It's in Springfield Friday night at 7:30 at St. Agnes Church, and then on Saturday night at 7:30 in Normal at the First Presbyterian Church. They're also giving the family concert, a young Mozart for families, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock with pre-concert activities beginning at 1 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church in Normal. And then repeating that concert Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at St. Agnes Church in Springfield. If you lost track of all that, you can go to their website, ilsymphony.org. And for tickets, you want to call in Bloomington Normal, area 309-434-2777. That's the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Or in Springfield at 217-206-6160. That's Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois, of Springfield. Here's the Illinois Chamber Orchestra in the opening movement of the Brook Green Suite by Gustav Holst on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The opening movement of Gustav Holst's Brook Green Suite, performed by the Illinois Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Karen Lynn Deal. Coming up, a short conversation with conductor Misha Rachlewski of the Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, who are performing in Charleston on Sunday night. And also clarinetist Solomon Bear is live in her studio. He is awaiting us to go over to the studio so we can hear him play a little bit. He's performing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra Sunday night. And support for WYLL today comes in part from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra with its season debut concert this Saturday. It's an all-Mozart program with pianist Maria Horvath Saturday at 7:30 at First Presbyterian Church in Normal. Call 309-434-2777. And as I said earlier, I gave all the other performance times. It's not only in Normal. This is also our fall pledge period, and we're looking for your contributions to support the show. It's a show I have enjoyed putting on for you immensely since February. It's been tremendous for me to get to know so many musicians of so many different genres and styles that I never even knew of before, and also to get closer connected with some of the folks that I did know and some of the organizations that I knew. And I hope that we've done the same for you, provided you the same service. Now we ask you to do us the favor of supporting the program with your financial contributions. You can do that at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Heather Miller of WYLL's Development Department is with me in the studio.
Yes, I am. And I want to give our listeners here a quick update. We've heard from 53 people this morning already and raised over $5,000 in support of WYLL Radio. And I think that's great. But we can do more. And I had referred to Live and Local as a lifeline to arts and culture. And I'm going to talk just a moment here about another line, one that I would like our listeners to cross, crossing over from being just a listener enjoying the show to becoming a supporter of this program and this station. And it's very simple to do. You just call 217-244-9455. We've got lovely folks to take your call. They'll take your pledge. And if you'd like to make a gift on your credit card at the $120 level or above, we have a fabulous holiday wreath made from Canadian and the state of Maine balsa fir. It's got a indoor-outdoor beautiful red bow and berries, and it just says Happy Holidays all over it. And that can be yours for a pledge on your credit card today of $120. So support the show you love, the station you enjoy. Get a little thank you gift for yourself, or maybe you'd like to have it sent to a friend. But you can do all of that today with your phone call to 217-244-9455.
Thanks, Heather. Yesterday, I also spoke with conductor Misha Rakhlevsky, who is originally from Russia. He came to the United States in the 70s rather quickly. Well, he came to play in the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and then several years later, he formed a group called the New American Chamber Orchestra. They were based initially in Detroit, and they eventually moved to Spain for a while. And you'll hear him reference that fact in the opening part of this portion of our conversation. We'll only hear a portion, in fact, of our conversation from yesterday. And I simply asked him about the organization of the Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, which came about at the instigation of a record label, the Claves label. It's not the usual way that organizations happen, but that's how this one happened.
That's very true, yeah. And while I was still in Spain with the New American Chamber Orchestra and put together orchestra for City of Granada, I began working with Swiss recording label Claves. We produced one CD and began doing another. And the president of the label was asking me to do another yet project with Russian and Soviet music. And since by that time I was already once or twice in Moscow guest conducting Moscow Chamber Orchestra, I suggested that we do it in Russia. And she immediately accepted it, just like on the spot. She said, well, what a marvelous idea. Let's do it. And so I decided to do it then. But when I took the Moscow Chamber Orchestra on tour to Spain, it was in summer of 91, the day of our last concert, August 19, I will remember forever, because that's the day when Moscow had its infamous putsch attempt by some hardliners to turn the kind of democratic reforms back to communist regime. And then, of course, this putsch was only 3 days. Was put away in 3 days successfully. And there was incredible feeling of rebirth, and everything spiritually, it was just unbelievable time. And I was in Moscow just a few days after the putsch. And then I decided that instead of doing this recording project with an orchestra that already well established and was a long time ago functioning under Soviet regime and so on, why don't I do something totally new with the new kids, with new spirit and all of that. And that's how it all began, right?
You said with new kids.
Well, kids, yeah. Now I'm of somewhat mature age. And at that time, average age in the orchestra, after I called auditions and selected musicians, was probably 23, 24. It's a little more mature now, because we have a few members from the original group, which are with me 18 years now, and a few members who joined later, but still with the group. But anytime we have openings, somehow what's happening is that we have totally new blood coming, musicians in their early 20s. And what you will see when we perform a few days later in your city, the orchestra looks very youthful.
Your name is Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, but I just want to make sure I understand this, that for the most part, or perhaps exclusively, you're a string orchestra. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Well, as far as permanent formation, we are string orchestra. We do engage winds, percussion, other instruments when we need to for some projects. But for our main configuration, it is a string orchestra.
And that's the group that you'll be bringing to Eastern Illinois on the weekend.
That's right.
Misha Rachlewski, conductor of Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, that will be performing at the Dowden Fine Arts Center this Sunday evening there on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And you can check out their website for complete information on all of the performances there. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up, clarinetist Solomon Bear, live in our studio. He's performing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony on Saturday night in Decatur. Support for today's broadcast comes not only from our listeners, but also from the Prairie Ensemble, presenting the Deconstructed Orchestra at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 24th at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. The eclectic program will include a guest appearance by bandoneon virtuoso Julian Labro in music by Astor Piazzolla. Ticket information is at prairieensemble.org. Here's Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, led by Misha Rachlewski, in a movement from one of the string sonatas by Gioachino Rossini. That was a movement from the fifth string sonata by Gioachino Rossini, a performance by Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, conducted by Misha Rachlewski. They are from Moscow. And they're performing at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston Sunday. I've been saying Sunday evening, but in fact it is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we have now moved studios into our performance studio, where clarinetist Solomon Bear is standing by, sitting by, with clarinet in hand. But first, now he's standing because he's a smart aleck. But first, we want to remind you that in order to have people like Solomon Bear in here, or rather to have a show that allows Sol to come in and perform live for you, we depend on your financial contributions. That's how public radio works. And we are asking you to make sure that it works today during this, our fall pledge period. The phone number is 217-244-9455. Heather Miller is with us here, and I know that she is ecstatic to finally get inside the studio where Live and Local happens to be up close and personal with one of our live performers. Is that not so, Heather?
That is absolutely the truth. I have begged and pleaded, and I have been banished until today, and I'm only here today because I'm asking for your support for an opportunity like this. I'm sitting next to Solomon. He's got his clarinet here. He's going to play some incredible music for you. There's going to be a delightful conversation. You're going to learn something today that you didn't know before, or maybe reinforce something that you always suspected. But it happens because you call our pledge line, 217-244-9455, and you make a gift of financial contribution to keep this program going. So I hope you'll take that moment. And if you're not near a phone, go online to willpledge.org. Our website is available whenever it's convenient for you.
217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or online at willpledge.org. Thank you very much, Heather. And you now she's set us up, Saul. You know, we now have to be profound somehow or another.
Can't do it.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here. It's really it's a treat, and it's an honor to be able to be here at this marvelous facility and what is really a very important link to the community and to all the musicians. It's a great resource for us, so we need to really think about how we can support this very fine institution, WILL, and these great shows, these great programs.
Thank you very much. And of course, the program is only as good as some of the performers who are on it and the conversationalists and you are there to serve in both capacities. The reason Saul is here today on Live and Local is that he's performing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. It's part of their Homecoming Spectacular program that includes Rimsky-Korsakov's exotic Scheherazade. And then Saul is playing not one but two solos with the orchestra. Which Weber piece are you playing?
The concertino. It was his first composition for clarinet.
And there's a couple, but at least a couple of others.
He wrote two concertos and a quintet and some variations, and all for a very the famous rock and roll clarinetist back in those days. His name was Behrman, and it's my ancestor.
He was a rock and roll clarinetist, huh?
Yeah. Well, he was a star back then.
You're the star of Champaign-Urbana clarinet world. You're also doing some music by Debussy, the first Rhapsody, right? The premier Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
He never got around to writing the second, as I recall.
He did not. He had written, I think previously, he had written a saxophone Rhapsody.
And we're going to hear a portion of that with you actually playing with piano later on in the show. With Susan Teicher. Would I be completely putting you on the spot if I asked you to play a Weber lick or two?
No.
Here is Saul in classical mode. We're going to hear Saul in some other mode here later on. And is that the opening of the concertino?
That is the opening of the concertino.
Because I get the pieces mixed up sometimes. Beautiful sound. Sound is one of the issues I wanted to talk to you about. I warned you in advance. Because clarinet can sound very different, first of all, depending who's playing it, depending upon what condition your reed is in, what mouthpiece you're using, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But also, depending upon what kind of music you're playing. And obviously, you know, that was a quotation from a classical piece. You also play klezmer music, which you have done on this show with your group called Little Oi on the Prairie. I know you've done some jazz playing. Do you deliberately alter your sound for different kinds of music?
That's a very interesting question. I think it's always a musician's duty to try and seek out the spirit of the composer, of the music, of the style, and try to imbue the music with that. So there are certain stylistic differences that you use, but a lot of times I think getting the spirit of the klezmer music is no different than getting the spirit of playing Weber. It's just putting your own yourself into the music and trying to reach the composer and trying to reach the audience and trying to reach something else out there.
So maybe if the sound changes, it's not necessarily because you're thinking, I'm going to change the sound to play klezmer. It's because you're saying, I'm going to play klezmer.
I think that's a good way of putting it. That's a really good way. I think you can, play notes, which is very easy to do quite often, or you can play music, which is something a little bit different.
I know that you normally plays klezmer with an ensemble because that's the sound.
Mm-hmm.
But can you, just as you played us some solo Weber, can you play us some solo klezmer and let's hear what does Saul sound like playing klezmer,
okay,
whether or not he's thinking about, I'm going to be a different Saul right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you did two things there that one doesn't normally do in quote-unquote classical music. You did a little thing with your throat. It looked like it was coming from your throat anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That it was kind of a shake. What was that?
The vibrato?
It was kind of vibrato, but it didn't...
It comes from the jaw, the tongue, the throat,
And that's just a stylistic thing that mm-hmm. goes with the territory if you're playing classical
right.
music.
Right, and also for bending notes and that sort of thing, too.
Now, how do you bend notes in a clarinet?
You get a vice grip, and you change the voicing inside the voice, the mouth, by changing tongue position, throat, and jaw. And if you think about it too much, then it doesn't work. You know, it's one of those things. You know,
it takes a lot of control to do it.
It does. And you got to think about it, and then you have to not think about it.
And there's probably the most famous lick of all of that bending, which you know what I'm talking about. Etc. Etc. Hey, you nailed that too.
Not bad for off the cuff.
Yeah, for off the cuff, because sometimes that does not happen. Mm. You know, when you're as you said, if you start thinking about something else, your mind wanders, and oops, there went everything. But you have to do that no matter what the music is. I mean, you have to stay focused. As soon as you lose concentration, not only might something accidental happen that you really don't want to have happen, but then the music quits happening.
You're not having fun either.
Yeah, and the music quits happening.
Exactly. You lose that feedback, that connection when you start thinking about. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you got to turn off the thinker.
What's the deal with the reeds? Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Well, a lot depends upon the condition of the cane, the temperature, the strength of the reed. I came in here and I found that I was using a harder reed than I normally use because it just seemed to have a little bit more vibrancy in here.
So and you carry a small container of reeds that
small
you vary. He has a rather large container of reeds, and sometimes depending on the circumstances, you're going to change it.
Right.
Well, I wish we had a ton more time to hear you play live, but I want to allow enough time to hear some of the Rhapsody of Debussy, which you recorded some years ago with pianist Susan Teicher, to get an idea of what you sound like. In a hall, I think you recorded this at the Krannert Center
right.
in Urbana.
And you were assisting on that, too.
Apparently so, yeah, I remember that. That was a while ago.
You were our ears.
So I hope that we'll, by having this conversation, we'll help to encourage folks to go hear you, Solomon Baer, performing the Premier Rhapsody of Debussy and the Concertino of Carl Maria von Weber with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Michael Luxner, Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Kirkland Fine Arts Center, on the campus of Millikan University in Decatur. And we have time, I think, Heather, to give the phone number and the website and encourage people to support folks like Saul and this show, Live and Local, and then we want to launch into a little bit of Debussy with Saul.
I still got the music resonating in my head, and I've got to tell you, this was wonderful, Saul, to watch you play. It was so amazing. The finger movements, all the throat, the mouth, the embouchure shift, it was incredible to watch that happen. And it happened right here in our studio. And you make that possible with your pledge call of support, 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org to make your gift. And at $40, we'll send you Patterns Magazine and a member card. We've got discounts to restaurants. We've got coupons that you can print and take shopping with you. And one of my colleagues said, hey, I saved $5 on my grocery bill. So savings and benefits and incredible interviews and music. And I've got goosebumps. It's just been fantastic. You be a part of that now. Join us at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of support.
Heather is in heaven. And that's thanks to Saul on this particular day. Thank you for coming in, Saul.
It's my pleasure.
And I'm sure we'll have you back again in some guise or another. It's Live and Local. Great. On FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Here is Solomon Bear with pianist Susan Teicher in a little bit of the Premier Rhapsody by Claude Debussy.